Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the NXT review. We are the Dudley Boys of What Culture. I'm Adam Wilborn, joined by Michael Hamflett and Michael Sidgwick, here to review everything that happened on last night's episode of NXT. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube, where we do daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review the show formerly known as NXT, but
what else am I in an hour? Oh, I don't know. From down. AW Dynamite! AW College on.
Pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete. You can quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, they're joined by Hamflett and Sidgwick to review last night's NXT. Another classic.
I thought Raw was avoiding the post-WrestleMania slump. Jesus Christ, have you seen NXT? They're on a bigger role after Stand and Deliver IOI than what was rolling into it. That's 2 fire weeks in a row. I would say this week was even better last week. The stuff on last week's show was eventful, but the big, like, Chase U payoff, for example, took a silly world I like and made it almost a bit too serious. They addressed that.
Yeah, fixed it.
They fixed it this week. There was a match in here which was a massive over-delivery, mainly because we didn't know it was even going to happen.
Yeah.
And like a now trademark NXT Open Challenge. They're the funniest way to have an open challenge and come up with increasingly creative ways for somebody to like get in the ring to get across the masses. And the skits and bits remain good.
And now we're on the road to, of course, Spring Break, indeed.
Oh, bro, it's just like, dude, you get the best barrels ever, dude. Just like you pull in and you just get spit right out of them. And you just drop in and just smack the lip. Whoop-ah! Drop down. Snap. Ah! And then after that, you just drop in, you just ride the barrel and get pitted, so pitted like that.
You got 2 weeks of that.
It's really long, isn't it?
Yeah. It's longer than I remember. Your thoughts, Sid?
It's a terrible show. With the exception of like a really cool overnight sensation that I'm really, really into, show is bad on every conceivable level, I would say.
Disagree. Right, let's dive straight into it then, because the show opened with one of our favourites, Dijak, taking on New Amdar of the Metaphor. Lash legend Jakara Jackson, Aura Mensah. Intrigued to see what they're doing with this Mensah lad, because he's got a bit of a reputation for getting slammed into doors and stuff by Obafemi, but also I don't know if they're low-key trying to eventually have him break away.
It would be quite something if he got, because I thought that, I was like, are they going to do a thing where he's like too tough for this daft group? Mm. But the origin story of that would be him getting knocked into a door at Stand and Deliver when the Metaphor, who were fantastic all night, their job was to dress up as other NXT characters and be like, right, what comic book strip are we going into now? Yeah. And that is the start of like Aura Mensah's year-long babyface
turn. Origin story. Yeah.
Love that. Love that for him.
Anyway, they Noam and Dijak on the early part of this match go out to the floor. There's Metaphor distractions. That doesn't work. Dijak gets him back in there. Springboard clothesline gets a near fall. Noam kept going for the guillotine choke. Dijak keeps countering it. He actually countered into High Justice at one point and got a 2 count off the back of that. Dar came back, though, slamming Dijak into the ring steps, hit a diving drop kick, a big back elbow, and got a 2 count off that. Tries for the Nova Roller, but Dijak hits him with a super kick, sets up for the Feaster Eyes, but Aura Mensah jumps up on the apron, gets super kicked off, but that distraction is enough to now. Noam Dar to recover. Dijak turns around, Nova Roller, 1, 2, 3. Metaphor all celebrating whilst Mensah's like, that bloody hurt, actually. And Dijak, it's clearly not over, he just stares at them.
Presumably, there's still that thing where NXT wrestlers don't get paid anywhere near as much as main roster stars. So the call-up is more than just, oh, here we go, off to Raw SmackDown. It's a pay rise. It's a life change, the whole deal. I really like Dijak. So if we're thinking of the real-life person, maybe it's time he started earning properly again. Because T-Bar was a disaster.
Yeah.
Like, you need to proper go at it. I sort of love him here. I think he could make a great NXT champion. I think he could be, like, the talisman of this brand somehow. This big idiot.
I love Dijak. Him.
I
never cared about, full disclosure, I never cared. Like, he had that great match with Keith Lee, which because I hadn't seen the PWG.
They had a few, but the PWG one's the most notable.
That's amazing. You were like, this is just a shot for shot remake of their PWG match. Yeah.
Like a touring match, wasn't it? Like Osprey Ricochet for Big Lads, wasn't it? Like,
yeah. Loved that. And then obviously, he went to the main roster and was T-Bar. And I was like, I don't care about this guy. And this character now, fantastic.
Yeah, same. He fits this, like, match with now to write home about, but I find him just a captivating presence. He does these little, like, since he's, like, sensibly turned babyface, he's just a good, people just like him now. He's never really turned. He's just, people just like him being this weird guy. He does these, like, he's not even looking for the hard camera anymore. He just looks for a camera to glare down.
Yeah.
And he's really charmed me this last couple of years. I don't want him to go to Raw SmackDown. I want him to live here.
This match was really mediocre, I thought. Like, it's one of the best genres ever when done well, David versus Goliath. This was just little guys, kind of slippery, cheats with the help of his mates. Unfortunately, as a result of that, the big guy can't maul him for that long. This is boring as f***, really. This match just happened.
Yeah, no, Amdar's a weird old wrestler. Like, I don't mean old in the sense of his age, but his style is ancient.
His age is weird.
Yeah, his style is like that 2016 thing when people would have had some buzz about Amdar hasn't ever changed.
No.
But wrestling has moved on more than the 8 years that the calendar suggests, and I don't know what he is as a wrestler anymore. No,
this match was just there. Very, very basic. The only story they could have told, and they did it. You cannot deny that they did it.
And presumably, you're going to go back to it again. It didn't feel like that was like, well, that's done and dusted. He was like, oh, I'm going to get you back for this. And
I'm
like, okay. Anyway, we go to Ava. She hasn't got a surname. She's the Rock's daughter and the general manager of NXT. She's in her office. Ilya walks in. She says, spring breaking, dude.
Oh, bro.
Oh, we haven't got to hang on time. It's next week and the week after, of course. Ilya says, yep, it'll be Trick's last day in NXT because of the stipulation that if Trick loses, he's gone. She says, well, to be fair, Trick and Mello are in a cage match tonight. Probably you should have a match as well. But I'll let you pick your opponent. And he says, whoever stands eye to eye with me first will get the match. It's an open challenge. More on that later on.
Yeah.
Then something I really enjoyed. Tatum Paxley. She gets a vignette. She always wanted to be good playing with dolls and the like. But then she realized no one wants to play with someone like me, Tatum Paxley. She made the good girls play with her, but then she realized she wasn't good. She runs down all the previous NXT Women's Champions, ends with Lyra. She says she loved Lyra, wanted to be there for her, and she was the closest thing to good there was, and she became good by helping Lyra. They were best friends, and then Lyra lost the NXT Women's Championship, broke her heart, and she was like, I don't care about you now, actually. What are you to me now, Lyra, without the NXT title? Nothing. Roxy's the coolest girl in class, but she can't have that anymore. It needs to be me, and Lyra is in my way.
Okay. What was Tatum Paxley? I genuinely can't remember, and I've watched this program for the duration, really, 2010 onwards. What was Tatum Paxley before she got corrupted and obsessive and the like?
Oh, yeah,
I was going to say she was a wrestler.
She was just a wrestler, correct?
She was a wrestler for about a year on NXT.
Yeah. And just lost some, won some.
Yep.
Whatever. And then she became, a bit goth-tinged and obsessive and creepy and not like spooky, but, on the aesthetic side of that. So when she's in full garb, full eyeliner, the full Robert Smith, Robert Smith. She is like now saying that presumably in her childhood that she was like,
this is the cure for the common shows.
Yeah, she was on the margins,
and
the fringe and an outcast.
Mm-hmm.
So she was playing with dolls and wanting little girls to play with her, 3 months ago? Because before that, she was just a normie. This is pathetic.
I'll talk about school as well. It's weird. And as well, to try and fold it into like, oh, she's got like standard wrestling motivation. I was in a front of a belt. Crazy, it was big business.
That's why she spit in a drink or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And nicked feathers.
Because she wanted to win the belt. Didn't she become obsessed with Bird Person before Bird Person beat Becky Lynch? I'm pretty sure she was like hanging out in the crowd, like doing the long stare. And we were like, Lara Valkyrie, I think you need to be worried about her. Flash forward 6 months later. Yeah, she's all right. I'm sure this is normal. This love bombing.
Mm-hmm.
Never about the belt.
This has always been abysmal.
Yeah. I can't remember.
Continues to be abysmal, Wilborn, correct?
No, I can't remember anything that happened past about 2 weeks ago. So I'm just like, cool, I guess that's the story.
And that's why WWE wins.
Oh, that's interesting. IRL, she's engaged to Big Body Javi. Didn't know that.
No.
There you go.
Good for them.
Good for them.
I mean
that.
Then we got Lola Vice versus Sol Ruka. I do like that.
I'm sure you do.
She kicks Sol Ruka a lot during the match, understandably. Ruka made a comeback, hit a standing moonsault for a near fall, springboard into a sunset flip. Goes up top, does Ruka, goes to that Soul Snatcher finisher of hers, where she cartwheels off the top rope. But then Blair Davenport appears, pulls the ropes, trips Sol Ruka. Ruka eats a spin kick from Vice, 1, 2, 3. And as Lola Vice is dancing and celebrating, Natty appears on the Titantron. She says, you cost me a title shot last week, so I'm going to meet you on your own turf in your match in 2 weeks. Spring break in week two. It's the two of us in NXT Underground. It's back. The best.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Indeed. NXT Underground. Let's go. I'm glad that idea of all the pandemic ones has been the one that's been allowed to live on in NXT.
Who pitched that? And they've got a bloody brass neck, I'll give them that.
Yeah.
Like they were going through like, there was 20 terrible ideas a week. Which one is the one that we can pretend was credible that we can steal? I thought this was all right, this match, you know? Mm-hmm. Like Lola Vice,
I was kind of shocked by how not incompetent it was.
I don't even want to say it's them because it's not even always them. Their move sets have personality,
mm-hmm.
and it's less inauthentic than Brinley Reese cartwheeling everywhere. Sol Ruka especially, she makes her life more difficult than it needs to be by the way she moves around the ring and uses the ropes and all that sort of stuff. But you can't not go, never travelled across the rope that way before. Lola Vice, like, just a bit more of a real deal. Like, the big kick for the finish here, she just, like, she hits harder.
Yeah.
And it's got a bit more, we've said this about her for a while, she's just got a bit more to her than a lot of the women on this roster. And Sol Ruka does the daft stuff. So this was, like, half-decent matchmaking, I would say. It never got boring.
I mean, it was pretty bad, but it wasn't woeful. It wasn't, was it?
Elements didn't make any sense.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. But that's, you know, that's by the by. Par for the course.
I sense what came next was probably one of Michael Hamlet's favourite parts of this show because we see Ariana Grace walking through the park. She's there to meet Georgina, as she was calling her, Gigi Dolin, of course, who's going to get a makeover.
Lifetime WWE rule. Never forget that. Like, if we were baby faces in WWE, we'd be Mike's. Heels, Michael. Stevens, Steve's. Gigi,
Georgina.
Then now forever.
She's impressed, though. Georgina's early. Gigi's just like, get over and done with, basically. Ariana says, today's dress shopping, which reminds me, next week we have to guess what they're going to be doing this week. So this week was dress shopping. What's next week? And that's another game. She says, think of your body as a canvas. The way you dress now is a horrifying vision. And we want to strive for universal peace. All we need to do is basically change everything about you, soften your attitude, change your look, all that. Gigi's like, oh, I really like wearing black. And Ariana's like, ugh. Trust me, though, I'll have you looking like me in no time. And Gigi's like, great. And they head off dress shopping. And I'm like, when are we going to get to the dress shop?
That's it. It's the fireworks factory. It's the mall.
Are you excited by this?
No, not remotely. I'll never give it a single thought.
I was like,
until I'm made to next week on the preview.
Yeah, and then you'll remember it and you'll like it again.
Yeah, a little bit.
So Ridge Holland's in-ring retirement lasted about 2 weeks. He was in action against Joaquin Wild. Now, this is amazing.
What's going on here?
The personification of you miss 1 week of NXT and you're like, sorry, what's going on? I thought Ridge Holland said, well, that's it for me. We said when we were reviewing it, I really felt
I think he did a really good job. Did he ever? Did you see the?
Yeah, the heartfelt because it's a bollocks story, isn't it? Like
it is, but we were saying he kind of draw upon.
Yeah,
yeah. Probably had a lot of really bad days in the wake of the Biggie thing. I know, obviously, Biggie had worse days. He probably drew upon that to deliver like a really sort of believable.
It was much better.
Emotionally resonant promo.
It was much better than when he used that chair once on Gallus.
Oh no! Oh, no. What violence these hands wrought.
So
wow, are so violent.
if you've missed all this,
I thought, sorry, what's going on?
Rich Holland said, "That's it. I'm done with wrestling." Right up until Stan Deliver, where he was on like the pre-show panel. And then he decided, I'm going to twat Joe Gacy with a chair, which cost Joe Gacy nothing. He beat Sean Spears in a kickoff match. Then he was like, oh, I'm so bloody sorry, last week. And Joe Gacy like popped out of a curtain and was like, don't you worry about it. And he's like, oh, you're a bit weird, you are. He goes to leave, and the LWO, Joaquin Wilde and Cruz del Toro, then they're like, we remember you killing people on SmackDown, part of the Brawling Brutes. We don't buy any of this. And he's like, piss off. And he pushes past him. They're like, whoa, 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 and go after him. And he shuts Cruz del Toro's hand in the door. And he's like, bloody done it again.
That's a change in the character. And they're not addressing that. Like when he was doing it in matches.
Yeah.
Like I've chosen this profession and it's killing people. Oh. I've chosen the wrong profession after all. He could
too strong for my own good.
Yeah. He could slam someone's hand in a door in any job.
I know.
I'm going to have to move to an office job. But then like, first day, he's getting shown around the building. And he's just like, oh, you've left that photocopier up. And slams it on the person's hand. Oh, no. 300 copies start coming out of
another one.
Let me see how you can't do that.
Let's
comes out Cornish.
Got another one.
Let's see how you work this shredder. I've pulled your tie into it. Oh, bollocks.
It's just oof.
But then
reached into a vending machine for like a stuff packet of piss, then just pulls it off the wall. Oh, God.
So that was the setup. I told you this yesterday on the preview. And then they were like, NXT Unanimous has got a thing to set this match up. I was like, the match was already set. What are you talking about? Joaquin Wilde said, you need to accept who you are, and he just choked him. And then they were like,
what is he?
We just did. Why would you say that to someone who likes to hurt people? Accept who you are. Okay. Go on then. Piece of me.
This was to Sean Spears one, wasn't it? Go on, hit me once in the head. Give me a serious concussion because then I win in a way.
Embrace who you are. I don't like, not to me, you know, to other people.
Put me on the shelf for 6 months.
So Sean Spears came down during this match, enjoying the mind games or whatever. Ridge offered a handshake.
Crap and all.
Ridge offered a handshake. Wilde was like, I'm not shaking your hand. You've shut my mate's hand in the door and you just choked me. Attacked him.
He'd go for the handshake and then Ridge would accidentally crush every bone in his finger.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
So he punched
What
him.
Am I like?
Ridge punched him back and then Wilde goes down. He's like, oh, sorry, mate. Helps him back up. And then Wilde was like, oh, no, we're in a match now. The bell's rung. Corkscrew crossbody gets two. At one point, Wilde went to hit him. No, sorry. Ridge went to hit Wilde and Wilde ducked and he just punched the ring post.
Oh, thank God I missed.
Yeah, oh, God.
Then he gets an overhead belly-to-belly suplex. I think he's got the match won at that point, but he decides, I want to kill you a bit more. His motivations are all over the place at this point. Anyway, Wilde goes through the dive through the ropes. Holland accepts who he is and power slams him on the floor. Gets him back
in. That was good, that.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I need to point out something that's good on the show. They did a really fluid job without making it seem like, right, I'm going to catch you and put you down. That's more like a Mitchell brother. You need slapping Dan. I thought that spot was good.
And then DDT'd him in the ring, like a lifting spike DDT. 1, 2, 3, and then he bumps Spears on his way out. And they're inevitably going to form a team together.
They have absolutely f***ed this. Yeah. Like, this is, like, for all that, like, we mock a lot of how silly NXT is, when, do you remember that period where it became 2.0? And like 2021, 2022, WWE was still pretty awful almost all the time. We were saying, you know, it's weird in NXT. Shawn Michaels does watch his continuity and he does sort of track the stories through. And it's like, begrudgingly, amidst all the preposterous characters, at least that sort of makes sense. This is like...
We remember it better than they do.
Yeah.
No, we don't.
Well, we do at a push.
give us a, you know, a couple of hours with the notes on the various characters. This
yeah,
is
not matches, but like storylines.
Story yeah, I guess. Yeah, character motivation.
Was Tame Taxi doing 4 months ago?
Well, this mainly.
Yeah. 7 months ago. 7 months ago.
Just having matches, you see.
Yeah, okay.
Before it mattered.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like Gary the Goat Garbutt 2019 stuff, like where that he loses. But did I? Mm. Like, it's, again, like he's being asked to do six different things when he's out there, when, with the greatest respects to Ridge Holland, the trick was just mastering the basics. That was where he was at. And now it's like, you've got this.
Never did that.
Never did that. And now we're moving you on to advanced, play six characters in one match, studies.
Advanced Shawn Michaels thespian school. Yeah.
Shawn couldn't do this. Like, he couldn't make sense of it.
No.
Juilliard break kid.
Ah.
Good. It's not good. You like puns.
I do like
you puns. Like incredibly tortured puns.
I do.
Something you like came next.
Doubt it.
Josh Briggs is getting checked out. He's got broken ribs from that awesome triple threat match. Ivar walks up, says, you're right, mate.
I do like Ivar.
And he says, yeah, I'm cleared. I'm going to go after Oba Buffemi. And he's like, well, maybe you should take it easy. I'll take on Oba. And then when I beat him and win the title, you get first shot. And Briggs says, piss off back to Raw and go get beat by Sheamus. And they go, let's have a bare knuckle fight then. So basically, Ivar told Josh Briggs to listen to veterans and respect the goddamn business.
Yep, we did, sure did. And he's just like, he just got beat off a loser then. I mean, I know you can't lie about it. That show's terrible.
And take your ass to Wrestler's Boat.
He was very much. We probably should give Ivar a win before he fights over the
fence. Yeah.
I'm desperately hoping for Viking Rules as brain break, indeed.
Josh Briggs is sort of finally starting to get somewhere. Where's Brooks Jensen and all
well,
this?
That's always the question, isn't it?
Yeah. I see Josh Briggs on screen. What's Brooks think of this? Yeah. Where's he right now?
Where is Brooks Jensen?
Yeah.
That's Fallon Henley as well.
We know he's jacking it somewhere.
He doesn't know what he wants, but he knows it sure as hell isn't this in this car park. She's the only one there. Come on.
Where can it wasn't in.
Anyway. We get a bit of footage from old Reese's Pieces herself, Brinley Reese. She's training or, you know, working out with our boys before they got murdered. Idris Nofi and Malik Blade. Brinley. She says, oh, you guys are facing Ope, aren't you? And they're like, it's not bloody Ope, you idiot. It's AOP. she says, I'll be out there with you. He just like, no, you're not. Yeah. Malik tries to calm down and says, come on, we can do anything if we just believe. More on that in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now you liked what came next as well, because it was the resolution of Chase U.
Magnificent.
Magnificent. Yes.
That reveal last week.
Oh,
that's like, we talk about like, we watch a lot of wrestling at home, isolated in the early hours. And it's like, it's not the best conditions to pop or make like loud noises or anything like that. I had a as Andre Chase is revealing that he was willing to stake Chase U's future, like on the result of one match, just because he believed in it.
And then he cost himself.
He threw in the towel and was going to cost himself, but he did it. And like, all of a sudden you can track it back and somehow they made sense of something that was mostly nonsensical week on week. Oh, God.
Mm.
I actually got a reaction out of me. Loved how this has turned out.
It's like how sometimes when we say...
Don't look at me like that.
I look at you like I'm a damn well, please.
It's like how we
actually,
say...
Actually, it makes me feel sad.
We should.
When the wrestling's so good, it's like I don't want to predict what's going to be next because they're so genius at this, you know, like a Young Bucks thing or whatever.
All right, okay.
Same with this, basically. The same. Chase U, Young Bucks. Same.
Transparent rescue Joe there with the Young Bucks. I'm going to kill it now.
Such an asshole.
So they meet backstage. Not at the university, just backstage.
Mm-hmm.
Andre Chase and Thea Hale. So she's like, so JC Jane wasn't lying. And he's like, nah. I believed you could win. I risked it all on my bet. But then I saw you suffer and the tears in your eyes and refusing to tap, tears running down your cheeks. I had to throw in the towel. I wanted you to be okay. He's like, why didn't you say anything? He said, I didn't want you to feel bad. She says, I'm sorry I ever doubted you. And they hug. I got to shed a tear. Loved it. Perfect. Cinema.
You didn't cry, though, did you?
Hmm?
Didn't cry.
A single tear.
No, I didn't.
It is still enormously weird that before JC Jane was like, hey, you're all losers, I'm out of here. She went to the trouble of getting all the money back and solving all Chase's problems.
Yeah. Why did she do that then?
Did all of that. Anyway, nerds.
Why did she do that?
There's a lot of money in the calendar business, clearly.
We shouldn't want it.
She didn't.
Well, that's what you think. That's we don't know that was all the takings. She could have just pocketed it all for herself. I think she's getting Jasmine Nicks to hang around with her, paying her probably, with the calendar.
Probably offering her more modelling work. The calendar was a roaring success.
Yeah. Got some contacts now.
She helped Thea Hill win matches. She funded JCU. And now, like, Jasmine Nicks is getting up.
Keanu James, like, is she a businesswoman, actually?
Quite JC right, Jane is NXT's secret top baby face.
I love it. Meanwhile, Gigi Dolin just going dress shopping.
Well, this is the thing, you see. So I think the people responsible for making the skits in NXT were missing the...
Borash.
The Thea Hill reveals. I just thought, oh, lift that and put it right up. It was back.
More of that later.
More on what layer?
You'll see.
Age is left.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Well, this next bit's going to fly by because out comes the D'Angelo family.
What the hell was this?
What are we doing here? What are we doing here?
This
ask questions
was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Might have to drop the old bit here because there's some salient things that need to be said.
Tony D'Angelo dressed resplendently in a suit and hat, looked great. He's got stacks. He's got the Riz. He's got Luca Crucifino with him. And he says, "Oh, now listen. After Stacks and I lost our NXT tag titles, I said it was time for some rapid growth in the family. I never said it was going to be easy, but I think it was worth it. You ask me, how, Don? You're not the NXT champion. But I think about where me and Stacks were a year ago. Match of the year candidate, trunk match, wasn't it? making Pretty Deadly disappear. I was facing some serious allegations. Not good. And now I look at Stacks and Luca Crucifino, my consigliere, ready to crack skulls and add some gold to the family. They can win the tag titles back. Brilliant. I look at Adriana, the future of the NXT women's division, when she's ready to put her stamp on it. She could win both women's championships for me.
Of course, yeah.
stand and deliver. I went toe-to-toe one of the toughest men in NXT. Now, Wally Mania, I've met Adam Wilborn. He's a top guy. Now, that was a fight. Not Wally Mania. Really drank that match. One of the hardest fights I ever had to go through. I didn't win. But this thing is about going one more round when you don't think you can. You see, toughness comes from longevity. And then he's interrupted by the No Quarter Catch crew. Charlie Dempsey, Miles Bourne, Damon Kemp, and that's it. Dempsey says... he's not happy that their dealings from last week were made public. And Tony says, "Oh, listen to me. You came to my family to take care of one of your own.
It's not good. I cannot believe they did this.
You guys didn't have the cojones to do it yourself.
No problem. We're the experts, right? And Dempsey starts to talk about them killing Drew Gulak, basically, because of all the horrible allegations that have gone with him. And hence,
yeah, think about that as a sentence, Wilb, on what you just said.
Yeah, think about that as a sentence.
Oh, snap! No specifics. There's people watching. And Dempsey goes to talk again. Stack says, hey, Charlie, he said no specifics. So I met him and everything. And
I hope he didn't do like your impression of him.
No, definitely not.
Been very offensive.
Oh, you got yourselves no quarter, huh? Well, I haven't got my full quarter. So when are you's going to pay up? And Dempsey says, well, you said anything about payment. I thought you were doing this for the good of the business. And
the hell was that? What was that line?
Yeah. Yeah. Mr. Dempsey, says Luca Crucifino, you and your crew are in arrears with the family for services rendered. But the Don has a cheese gesture for you. You can either settle this debt or we can handle it the way we always do.
David Kemp says they're not paying. Tony says,
oh, Damon, no one's even talking to you. I got something to say to all three of you. I don't know anything for purity. I don't give a damn about your feelings. I do things strictly for business. And in my business, we live by a code. A code you don't betray. I don't care who the three of you think you are, but you want to come in here and interrupt me? I don't think so. Then I'm fairly certain people forget what they're meant to be doing, because there was just this, like, five-second pause where they both look at each other and go, go on, you talk then. Tony says, hell, listen to me. That Heritage Cup looks pretty nice. And all of a sudden, I have to say, I've had a go at the Heritage Cup for over a while now. I think I'm going to hold my hands up. I'm wrong. I think that's probably the most prestigious title you can win in NXT.
Right, yeah.
So
that's when Tony said he wanted one more round. It's like, I want to get into round wrestling.
Yeah,
it's like, in fact, you know what? The NXT, the NXT Heritage Cup.
Hey, you all right?
A five-round Tony D'Angelo points match.
Oh God, can you imagine?
God Almighty!
Is that the end of the segment?
No, not yet. Dempsey tells him to not look at the cup. It represents. I gave up, Ryan. What he was saying at this point represents, you know, grit.
Doesn't really have an accent, so there's no point.
Yeah,
the very
boring habit, isn't it?
The very
Dragon off when we could have a bit of fun with it.
The prize you just deemed now the richest in NXT. Yeah. You're like, he's talking about, I'm bored of that now.
He says, it's not to be held by a two-bit gangster in some wrestling boots. I almost leapt through the screen at that point when he said that. Tony says, oh, you didn't seem to have a problem with that when I was taking care of your little situation. You going to pay up or what? And Dempsey says, over his dead body, will he let a low-life scumbag disgrace the cup? And Tony says, huh, scumbag, huh? Takes off his jacket. He says, how about this? The family jump them, they brawl, and they knock them out of the ring. So what did you make of all this?
Well, put it this way, mate. When I watched this, this is probably about, 5:45 in the morning or wherever, I'm thinking, my first thought is, what? My second thought genuinely is, yeah. I'm sure Will Bourne can do the voice this week. He goes full Luca Crucifino doing it. We've all had a bit of fun. Mm. Maybe at the wrong time. Earnestly, is Drew Gulak still employed?
But probably not
soon. I would assume not.
Probably not soon. If not right now, then I would imagine.
Because he was already removed from the No Quarter Catch crew. Tron thing last week.
The Tron, that counts, that's special.
There is a skit where like Charlie Dempsey was like explaining the rules of Bloodsport to the No Quarter Catch crew and he was just nowhere to be found, was it? Like, he was
saying,
a new leader.
For the good of the industry, we had this, our associate murdered. Mm. So he can't have a job after this, can he?
It is.
This is ridiculous.
This is bananas. Like, I remember as a kid, it's just used to happen in wrestling. And the Ultimate Warrior just running backstage at SummerSlam and then not coming back. And just don't talk about the Warrior anymore. Mm. Like, we were on about Andrew Dice Clay's brilliant wrestlers are leaving, like gear thread. I remember the boss man wearing wrist tape and the boss man being gone and being like, oh well, no more big boss man for me then. That was a good run.
At one point, the fluctuation was so wild that I would buy a Hasbro.
Yeah.
The Hasbro would, like, because I got mail order Hasbro sometimes. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. And by the time the Hasbro came, the next time I sat down and watched Sky One, where's Adam Bomb?
I was going to put the belt on you.
Where's Adam Bomb gone?
Where's Adam Bomb?
It's like...
I'm not joking.
I know.
And this was back then, where just like they've just disappeared. No explanation, they're just not there.
Did Adam Bomb have a Hasbro? He did, didn't he?
Yeah, really. I was just looking at the detail on the gear. It was lovely. I think it came on like green card or red card, like some of the later ones.
Oh, yeah, Adam Bomb is class, to be fair.
Red and yellow.
Because I think there was like, obviously I would get them from like Toys R Us just to shut me up. Mm. Michael, you're being a brat. Have a reward, which is basically shut up.
You really and that then, cycle as a parent, don't you?
Yeah. It's just like, just sit down. Like, ooh, my Hasbro. And I'm sure it was like, they got advertised in the mags. And I was like, oh, there's different ones. I don't see them in Toys R Us. And it's all because the ones like,
it was when the business died.
Yeah.
Like, they were just toy shops over here weren't stocking Fed anymore because there was only us buying. Same 20 kids across the country going to Woolworths. Where's the In Your Houses? We're not stocking that. Nobody buys that anymore.
Have you still got the Adam Bomb action figure? If it's in good condition, you might be wanting to.
Oh my God, it was a green card, yeah.
Do you know what I did once?
How much is it?
£250.
Bloody hell. Do you know what I did once?
What?
I found a green marker pen, and just around the house, one of my only real acts of rebellion as a child. Dot. I like just put some dots on my Hasbros. For whatever reason, I used to go around the kitchen table. Dot. I'm like, Dad, what the f*** are you doing, son?
And not on just on your figures, like on stuff.
Just around the house, I used to just screen marker. I was like, I'll never come off that.
I got,
I don't know why I did this.
You know, like after, a Batman villain, huh?
There you go.
Yeah, after the Royal Rumble 94, when the Undertaker rose out the casket and it all went like flashing white and electric. And I got a second Undertaker from the car boot and covered him in Tippex, so I had white Royal Rumble Undertaker. And that was probably where the white gear thing started.
Yeah.
Maybe he's going to come back looking like this. No, just purple gloves. That was a waste of a bottle of Tippex and a quid. And it wouldn't dry for ages. Tacky. They would just leave, right? And that was okay.
Yes.
And if this week it was like, oh, they're not caught a catch crew, it's just three boring bastards instead of four. Fine. I'll work with that. It's like, no, we must figure out a storyline thing. Killed by a mafia guy. I cannot believe they've put the hands together on this one. Cannot believe
it. It's so wild.
And they thought, well, hang on, but this is the storytelling company, so we've got to have it dovetail into a Heritage Cup story. We can't wait. We can't throw away.
We can't throw away
Heritage
that
Cup material.
Not just Heritage Cup matches. There's a three-on-three match next at Spring Break, indeed, next week.
I don't want to watch that either.
I do. I want a trio. Have we ever seen Tony D. Stax and Luca Crucifino?
No, not yet.
Sorry, a dream match. Basically.
Do you think Regal's?
I hate it. Man.
Yeah. Regal's telling Dempsey, like, this is the proper stuff. This is like, if you can get over with the mafia or so, you can get over with anybody.
I'll tell you about the Blackpool Mafia.
New name for the stable just dropped. Blackpool Mafia. Get out there and give them hell.
Give them hell. And watch out for them, like the snakes. Can we finish the Big Dipper? There we go. Huh? Wake up. What's next to you? No horse's head. Big bottle of piss. Big bottle of piss. Who wants to wake up next to that? Not me. You wake up next to a big pile of piss and you give him one of these. You give him one of these, sunshine. Give him one of them. Everyone, hey, he's pissing himself. They all piss themselves.
That's what they should have done instead of this write-off. They should have just replaced Drew Gulak with a big bottle of piss to see if anybody noticed. It's like, oh, there's all four members of the Nut Got a Catch Crew.
Oh, no, there's one bottle. You see four bottles of piss.
Charlie Dempsey, Damon Kemp, and the
big bottle of piss. Yeah, that's all present.
The difference maker, the big bottle of piss.
And there's four bottles of piss.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
What's the difference?
Yeah. Oh, I've just remembered.
Oh, sorry. I've just remembered. It's unrelated to any of this. But Stand and Deliver, they've added the Sonic graphics to Nathan Frazier's thing. So, like, he comes out with him and Axiom. And, like, it's because obviously there's not normally this amount of screens to use. So you see the branding everywhere. It's great for them. But it's like it goes like, never stop running. So, like, Nathan Frazier has to go, like, throw the ring as fast as he can. Then he gets another Bron Breakker with the whole deal. He goes, like, 100 miles an hour off the road.
He moves the ring.
Just imagine, like, if you had, like, whoa, Sonic the Hedgehog, and it's like, Mario's even faster. Sonic. Thanks.
Oh, dear. Anyway, moving on.
Big bottle of piss. Cedric's marker pen draws a face on it. It's big bottle of piss. Regal's like got Charlie Dempsey to one side. That lad got me over in 2000. He's going to get you over too. You do business with big bottle of piss, you'll be made forever, son.
Everyone remembers it. Every punter loves that.
Oh, dear. Sorry, dude, I just remembered.
What?
I've not done my my receipts from WrestleMania. I should probably go and do them now.
Why don't you do them after the podcast?
Well, I'm worried it's going to be the end of the day and it's like a week after we've been and I don't know what the cut-off point is. So I'm going to...
No, you've got like 28 days or something.
I don't know.
Or at least before the end of the month.
I don't trust the system.
Don't trust the system?
No.
What's it got to do with expenses?
So you're saying on camera that you don't trust...
I just think
your employer's
better to be safe than be system. Sorry. I'm going to go and quickly do my receipts.
Why don't you just do it tomorrow morning?
Yeah. Because that'll be like a week and a day and it's like, come on, don't take the piss. Big bottle of
piss. Don't say the big bottle of piss.
I'll be back in a minute. I'll see you in a
second. But it actually takes about an hour, actually.
He's not listening.
No, it does take an hour.
Oh, to get them
through. It's going
to
be ages.
Oh, there couldn't have been a worse time to do it than in the middle of a podcast. He was always doing this.
He won't be here before the end of it. I'm telling you, I did it promptly on Monday morning, and it took forever. You'll not make it to the end of this podcast.
Yay!
Hey, that's it.
How's it going? What do you think of last night's show?
You got quite the
we
stable.
Not quite a catch, you guys, huh? Did we?
Still four of them.
Yeah, sure is.
Can you go into specifics on the business arrangement?
Absolutely not. People watching, Sidgy. Come on, don't get into trouble with Tony D. The boss. Come on. Sidgy, what's the deal with the color blue?
Color blue. Well, there you go.
What's all this about?
That's the blue. That's blue.
Oh!
Your coat's a darker shade.
Oh, yeah, that suddenly makes sense. I only ask because we'll be going to the main roster soon. And I asked about Roy yesterday and what colour SmackDown, and actually, can you have jokes about it's blue?
Is that why you've got a red hat and a blue jacket? Because
exactly.
You're open to both brands at the moment.
Get it?
Of LTST.
Yeah.
So blue is one of the primary colours that is kind of fundamental to making the other colours. Stacks, I've got a question for you. If you didn't know anything about blue and colours in general, if you mix blue and yellow, what colour do you get?
No goddamn idea.
Green.
Oh, magic. Can you go with any other colors?
What happens if you mix blue and red?
Green again?
No, because it'll be a different color. Stacks. Blue and think about it. What's close if you put those together?
Light blue.
No, that would be white in a...
What?
Blue and red equals...
I got nothing, Sidgy.
Purple.
Oh, my God. Whoa. I'm in the flip of judgment day. Anyway, Sidgy, we joke around here, but we got to be a little bit serious now.
Schooling stats.
I love how we've got to be a bit serious now. Yeah. Got to be serious about the off-screen exit of Drew Gulak.
Oh, we got to be serious now, Sidgy, because unfortunately, I'm not sure if you've seen
it. I should be talking to Wilborn about that, obviously.
Yeah, we'll chat with him about
it. Unfortunately, there was a bit of an accident. You might have seen this on the news. There was a ship that crashed, actually. It was a ship carrying blue paint. Crashed into a ship carrying red paint, and apparently 50 sailors were marooned. Huh? Huh? You want to have fun with colors? I am having fun with goddamn colors.
You came up with that really quickly,
on
considering what you've only just
fly.
So you did know what maroon was, but you didn't know what purple was. And with your new knowledge, you were able to...
I never know, man. Did you three jokes, three questions for you?
Okay.
Did you, if a blue boy has blue babies, and a red boy has red babies, what kind of boy has no babies? Blue bird has blue babies. Red bird has red babies. What kind of boyd has no babies?
Is it another? I don't know.
No idea.
I don't want to say it.
It's probably best not to guess at this one. You want to tell you the answer?
Yeah.
If a blue bird has blue babies, red bird has red babies, what kind of bird has no babies? A swallow.
Ha 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 Very good, Stacks.
Question joke number two. Why did the boygler wear blue gloves?
Huh? I think I've got this, and it's related to Raw and SmackDown, so he wasn't caught red-handed.
Bingo! One for the kids, just like all the jokes today.
Another one for the kids. So I've got two jokes. After, obviously, the first one's off for the kids. But I can go home and see my kids and do the second and third joke.
You can do all the jokes, because... Question joke number three, SDG, is... what is another way to describe having blue balls? What is another way to describe having blue balls?
Unsatisfied sexual urges. Yep. That's not really a punchline, is it?
Punchline, is it?
Red hands. It goes with a blue and red theme. Should you do that?
Yeah.
Red hands.
Oh, it's getting that right, CG. What is another way to describe having blue balls? Getting a cummy ache. See you later, guys.
Oh, my God.
That's repulsive.
Cummy ache.
Bye, Stacks.
Jesus.
That's taking ages. I'm not doing that.
So I told started. You.
I know, yeah. Ridiculous. Yeah, I miss much?
Yeah, you miss Stacks.
Yeah. Oh!
Well, good jokes this week, but you don't deserve to hear them.
No. Anyway, Ilya's here. He wants to see who's going to challenge him and make a match that I presume he would describe as...
Eating a chicken off.
It's got a backlash, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, very entertaining. Very entertaining.
So, yeah, it's open challenge. Oh, it's the Ilya Dragunov open challenge.
It's the best show of the week. Oh. It is.
See, Ilya Dragunov open challenge. The whole locker room comes out.
It's a good bit, this, isn't it?
It gave me flashbacks to when they just went, it's 24/7 championship, whoever grabs it first can have it, and they were just all fighting.
It's law, isn't there? Do you remember that cold open that time when, like, was it Wes Lee was waiting in the ring?
Oh, yeah.
And the fight was, like, in guerrillas. Well, somebody's going to get the shot. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, they're all brawling, and then in flies into the ring the new superstar, Javon Evans, who looked fantastic last week. He literally flies over Ilya into the ring, and he will fight the NXT champion in a really enjoyable match. You know, they get into it straight away. Back and forth. Obviously, Dragunov's got more power there, but Evans is quick and high-flying and what have you. Super kicks Dragunov. Kick to the face. Dragunov comes back with a power slam. Dragunov hits him with a massive clothesline to get a two count. The Constantine special gets counted into a roll-up. Dragunov hits a running knee to get two, but gets caught with the DDT. Dragunov goes out to the floor. That amazing dive that Evans does, that they also shoot in a new way. They did this last week. They had like a cameraman.
Yeah.
Under the ring, basically, looking out. He flies
an Andre camera for high spots.
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
Why not?
Takes him down with a big dive, does Javon Evans. But Dragunov, when they get back in, ultimately counters a splash, gets his knees up, deadlifts Evans, Death Valley driver, hits the Torpedo Moscow and gets the 1-2-3. Really enjoyable match.
Great again from Evans. It's obvious that it's not all there. This is not some instantly ready total package pro wrestler in it. And that's all right, by the way.
Because I think it's feature, not bug.
Yeah, you want to see the sort of the flashiness now and then see if he can put the rest together. You get to go on the journey, theoretically, with him. Like, one of the highest compliments I can pay this, and he has done better in WWE than I think we would have assumed at one point, but do you remember, like, the Ben Carter Daly's Place matches?
Yeah.
And you're, oh, my God, this is the next guy. Mm. The next sort of, like, he's going to take the mantle forward from, like, the Ricochets, and to a lesser extent, Ospreay, because Ospreay just became a more rounded...
Like a heavyweight guy, yeah.
This is that. I'm feeling that with John Evans already, and what's really cool is that it's somehow, level up, generated buzz for somebody... Mm. And after 2 weeks, they've done a superb job of transferring it onto NXT proper, as if it's like an elevated stage. I didn't realize that there were levels, but there are, and they've made it work. It's exciting, like seeing him, like hopefully seeing him progress.
Yeah, honestly, I quite enjoyed seeing him be Raw, watching sort of the fact that, oh, you've gone a little bit too early on that bump, or kind of missed. You've not done the best job of like conveying that was an impact there, that you've done this ridiculous inside out bump for, because it's, I like the guy already, incredibly dynamic. He's got this really distinct bumping style, but he's just incredibly raw and exhilarating to watch. And I just get a nice vibe off the young man.
Ex-AW star as well.
Yeah, apparently he's there.
Got beaten by Fuego del Sol on Dark and in a tag match against the Workhorsemen.
So, like, it's just a good pickup, I guess, as long as they don't dilute him. They've got a, like, mad trampoline ring at the performance center. There's things he probably practices there that he can then potentially incorporate into a normal match. It's exciting.
Really, really excited to see what they do with him. And you look at, like, who he's been working with. He's worked with, like, Mello and stuff doing live shows. I think he's going to be a mega star.
And, like, Dragunov's going to be gone, isn't he? So they've gone to the trouble of giving him this match now before it was too late.
What followed that?
Oh, just a good sign for what they think of him.
Yeah.
Kelly's there with Carmen Petrovic, asks about Natty challenging Lola Vice, and she says she's going to train Natty and be in her corner. In walks Lola Vice and says, Natty's got guts. She can't handle my heat. And Carmen can teach her all the skills you've got, but that's going to be nothing compared to who I have in my corner. Another game for next week.
Oh, yeah.
And there's got, oh, actually, 2 weeks, actually, because the contract signing's next week for the match. Sol came twice. Yeah. Sol is ranting to Ava. She hasn't got the same name. She's the Rock's daughter and the general manager of NXT about Blair Davenport. And Sol says, I'll put you in a match with her. She's like, no, I want a no DQ match next week. I won't stop until Blair has to be carried out. It's not just a no DQ match. It's a beach brawl match. I don't know what that is, but I like it.
Like a deck chair instead of a steel chair.
Oh, hang on.
Oh, my God.
Puts like a bucket on her head and then hits it with a spade instead of a bin in a kendo stick.
Brilliant.
Sorry, there's preview stuff.
Yes, don't.
Sorry.
You've ruined it.
I know. I'll just say it again next week.
We'll have all forgotten it.
Yeah.
Then it was time for Creepy Jayton Buxley versus Thea Hale, who's got all the rest of the Chase U out there, but she gets a little bit freaked out because Paxley crawls around to start the match. She got her in like a, what would you call it? I've seen it described as an upside down surfboard.
Yeah. That's it. That's it's because it's an inverted one, isn't it?
Yeah. So. That was a weird, cool, but weird looking. Hale came back, hit the world's smallest slam, but here comes Jasmine Nix to hop up on the apron for a distraction. Whilst the referee's dealing with her, JC Jane comes in, trips up Hale, Paxley catches her with a crucifix, 1, 2, 3. And then after the match, it's just chaos because Thea Hale jumps JC Jane. They have to get pulled apart. And then Lyra Valkyrie rushes in to attack Tay and Paxley, and they have to get pulled apart as well. Two big matches for spring break.
Yeah, like, and you mean that. Like, it's all very silly, all of this, but they are two big, like, they're two.
What are the matches?
It's going to be Tay and Paxley and Lyra Valkyrie, and Thea Hale and JC Jane. They're like two of the longest standing stories. Legacy rivals.
I mean, it's about time.
Yeah, both of them need paying off. So, yeah.
I should say, actually, there's even more on the Lyra Valkyrie Tate and Paxley match because immediately after this, Roxanne Perez is laughing about all this. She says, look, you two can destroy each other for all I care. I'll just sit back and be entertained. Whoever wins, they get a title match, whatever. You see, Ava, that's easy. I don't know what your problem is. And Ava comes in and goes, that's my job. And it's point breaking, dude. It's going to be a triple threat match. You versus Valkyria versus Paxley next week for the world title. Roxanne's not happy.
Then she said, womp womp. What's that mean? That's like, I've seen that on Twitter. Is that like just, I've owned you or something? Is that what that means?
I don't know.
It's weird. It's an improv. Just swear like a dad instead.
Womp womp.
Try that. Imagine if Ava just started walking around like, I've got manner.
I want a title, man. I don't want a title. Shut the f*** up.
Every time somebody comes in, I'm like, off is the direction you can f***. Ava's kind of got a bit edgy.
Ava rules.
Ava, what's your surname? What's my motherf***ing name?
Ava. She hasn't got a surname. She's a rock's daughter of the general manager of NXT.
Well, that's officially now part of it. Yeah. A lot more Oh, boys, Malik Blade and Idris Enofe got destroyed by AOP next.
They just should have.
Yeah.
They just got battered. In the end, they got a tiny bit of offense in. Malik Blade, I think it was, who knocked Rezar out of the ring. Enofe tagged in. That was it. Blade leapt onto them. He got caught. Idris tried to dive out of him, and they just threw him at him.
Kind of a that's like the super collider, but on a flying opponent, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
It's kind of awesome.
They get him back in the ring, and I think it hit him with another super collider. 1, 2, 3. Post-match, out comes the new champions. They are, of course, Nathan Fraser.
When I'm cleaning windows.
And Axiom.
No!
Staying down, bought by security.
Yeah, fine. The good brothers somehow get out of working. What happened with that?
Oh, they just didn't win.
They just didn't win.
Yeah, they had a number one contenders triple threat.
Yeah.
With...
Axiom and Nathan Fraser.
Yeah, no, around Cleaner Windows. And the LWO?
Yes. I think you might be right
they
there.
Just lost that match.
And yeah,
that
just
that.
Lost. Me and Tidwell, that's obviously what they're doing here. And then Axiom and Nathan Fraser winning. I'm like, hey!
That's much better.
Jackpot. Yeah.
That's much better.
This will probably be fine. Mm. AOP can be carried. Sometimes.
I've got good opponents for it, yeah. Mm.
A lot of wrestling going on right now, so it's time for clothes shopping time with Ariana Grace and Gigi Dolin. They're looking through dresses, and Gigi's like, imagine I only wear this. And Ariana's like, wait a second, what is that over there? And she pulls out this big green sort of princess dress, basically. Gigi's like, I hate that. She's like, come on, try it on, make it your own. And she goes into the changing room. You can hear this like, what the hell's going on in that changing room? Turns out she's been bloody modifying, hasn't she?
She certainly has.
She looks great in it. She comes out. Ariana hates what she's done with it, but Gigi says, no, I like it. In fact, I'm just going to wear it right now. And Ariana Grace is paying. These two are getting along.
They're starting to click.
This odd couple is kind of starting to work.
It's not so odd all along. I think you'll find the bit when she opens the curtain and they've just recycled the doo-doo-doo-doo, and it's like, Jason and Gigi, you made for each other, just reunite Toxic Attraction.
Yeah.
And like, in case it wasn't apparent that she'd altered this dress, like, and made it a bit more her own, she's like holding the scissors, and like the scissors are looking at the hard camera, like, just in case you can't see.
It's a matter, you forget your scissors.
I love the fact he repeated it, like he's no pop there.
Yeah.
Do it again. We'll get a pop this time.
Would have just in here, that's all.
Yeah. Would have got a pop if Sid had come out of a wardrobe in like a Pretty Woman sketch.
Yeah.
We knew they'd get there. Like, the next part of this is like, Gigi Dolin's like, oh, you're not so bad. And then she gets the news she's been entered into a beauty contest, and she has to decide if she wants to win it or not. Like, I don't care if this never leads to a match.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. But I can't wait for next week. What are they going to get up to next?
Well, that's why I'm in the job I am.
Walking like in a straight line with books on her head or something. Deportment.
Don't get ahead
of
yourself.
I'm just excited.
I know,
sorry,
me too.
Sorry, your fantasy book when you're encouraged by the product to do so.
Ivar versus Josh Briggs. Briggs has got bad ribs, obviously, but he kicks Ivar in the face. Then Ivar cartwheels over him and drops him over Femi's watching in the back. Briggs hits a big boot, sets up for a splash, but he hurts his own ribs by doing that. Ivar targets the ribs, spinning power slam. A tiger driver gets a two count for Ivar. Briggs comes back with a boss man slam. They go outside. Briggs hits him, but gets hit with a big kick in the head. And the Doom Salt gets the win for Ivar, obviously to set up presumably a match. One of the nights is bring for the North American title. Backstage, Kelly asks Ober about it. And he says, interesting. And Ober knocks Ora Mensa down on his way out.
Like, all the years that Briggs and Jensen were together, was Josh Briggs 2 foot shorter or something? Like, only as a singles wrestler has he been...
Yeah, he's always been a unit.
But he never wrestled like one, did he? This feels brand new, the stuff he's doing as a singles guy. Like, I feel like he's...
Maybe Jensen just dragged him down a bit.
Maybe, yeah.
Because, like, obviously, like, one's proper developmental, the other one's had experience elsewhere and stuff.
True, yeah. Feel like he sort of, as soon as he starts working with big guys, he actually gets to be one, and he's better for it.
So we run down the card for night one of Spring Break, and it's two weeks, of course. It's too big to be contained for one night. Dragunov versus Trick Williams. If Trick loses, he'll leave NXT. Perez, Tatum Paxley, and Lyra Valkyria. Sol Ruka and Blair Davenport in a beach brawl. Contract signing for the NXT Underground match between Natalya and Lola Vice. And the No Quarter Catch crew versus the D'Angelo family.
The big 4-on-4.
So we get a video package, a really good video package, telling us the story of Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes. And Carmelo, in a pre-match interview, says, "The feud's over when I say so." He's got his own personal security team again. He says, "I gave Trick everything, and now I'm taking it all back from his ungrateful ass." And obviously, yeah, again, Trick Williams, huge pap, whoop that Trick, getting chanted left, right, and center. It's a steel cage match between these two. Early on, Hayes sends Williams into the cage, and the security guards give him like a club to hit him with. He knocks down Trick to take us to a break. Hayes is targeting the arm. When we come back, he hits a code breaker on it. Williams fights back up, though, gets sent into the cage, but dodges a charge, sends Mello in instead, hits a super rock bottom. Fans are really getting behind him at this point. Kicks to the face, flapjack, reverse suplex. Over and over, he sends Mello into the cage. Neck breaker gets Trick a two count. There's a knee to the face fired back by Mello. That knocks them both down. They go up in the corner. Mello tries for a super bulldog. Trick blocks it. So Hayes signals for his security to interfere. They start trying to climb the cage. He's fighting them off. One of them makes it in there with a chair, but Trick Williams gets rid of him, boots him out the cage door. As that's happening, though, as Trick's shutting the cage door, Mello's got the chair, turns round, but Trick Williams ducks the chair shot and hits the Trick shot knee that he does to send the chair into Mello's face. 1, 2, 3. Trick Williams wins the steel cage match, and there's a stare down with Ilya Dragunov ahead of their title match next week.
A lot like the Stand and Deliver match, but in a cage, in that it was a nothing match with a sort of dramatic second half. I don't think these have got amazing in-ring chemistry, truthfully, but the story...
Trick's only got chemistry with Ilya Dragunov, and that's sad, but yeah. True.
Well, that and the audience.
Yeah, yeah, that's
like, that matter. It's like... I don't know. Jury's out on Mello, because I actually didn't mind his SmackDown matches earlier this year when he was working as a babyface, so we'll see. But yeah, I thought like...
It's a 3-star Ospreay.
Yeah. Like, the second half of the match had drama only because of the... security guards and the inclusion of the weapons and all that. And because you knew it was coming to an end as well. I did like, I like the shot of Trick at the top of the cage being so close to Dragunov in the platform. And that's quite nice. I hadn't thought about that. It's such a small venue that you can have something like that. And I like the plotting because ultimately, theoretically, even though we could see it as the viewer, nothing was really wrong between Trick and Mello until Trick reasonably wanted a shot at the title. That folded Ilya into all of this, and now he's right back there, and Trick had to do all this to get one last go at him. I do like how that's been plotted. This was the thing about, like, Gargano Ciampa, right? As much as they bastardized their own stuff, the first time around, maybe even the second time around, it was pretty amazing. Like New Orleans, the first time you watch it, I think that's one of the best matches I've ever seen. Can't really go back and enjoy it the same way now. Trick and Mello have never had that match, despite the fact that the feud has worked quite hard to make you feel like it should be on that level. The in-ring's just never really there between them. But Trick's Trick. He's mega over. Hope he wins.
Beyond the odd, like, flashy sort of, we're in a cage, let's do a cage spot. Shocking lack of emoting here. Like, shocking absence of tone of, like, hatred, animosity of any kind of work. Go back and watch something like, I don't know, Flair, Funk, I Quit. It's just the enmity, the hatred. Absolutely none of that in this steel cage blow-off ultimate personal rivalry that just did some moves and that didn't even look that good. Measured against the wider standard of what that style looks like on a global level.
An NXT cage match blow off was one of my favorite matches last year. The Creeds and the Grizzled Young Vets. That was hatred fuel. That was like, you know, like
a total absence of anything resembling what this match should be or used to be. And I don't know, maybe I'm just old school. maybe old Teak is, behind the times. But you know what I mean? They're just now to this. Just a soulless moves match that 90% of the time happened to be inside of a cage. Like, the context was just completely not there.
Me and Kane had our first face-off behind the mesh.
Behind the old mesh, yes, we did.
It's got to be Kane, you better believe it. change the business.
And I said to him right then and there, we gonna rumble. We're gonna take your face off. Said, and that is motherfucking King.
I let him set fire to me while I was alive because he respected the business.
Said we'll make some money off this one, baby.
See, the thing about it now, it's all fake looking. When the dead man came back to life out of a burning coffin, that was when the business meant something.
Real life.
Kane had paid his dues, you see, playing a fake version of Diesel back when his business used to mean something.
And there was a Una bomb.
I ripped the tinsel off that Christmas creature's ass.
Down the old way. SM'd up.
SM'd up. One thing a dead man hates, it's fake Christmas tree. Yeah. Cut down a real one with my own axe. Or I get the mayor to do it as punishment from wrestlers. You cut down a dead man's Christmas tree.
Chicken tenders off my
decorated how Michelle likes it. Get your chicken off my
What's up, boy? You eating?
Nah, that won't do.
Eat out. But at the same time, bulk up because you don't look like nothing. You don't look like nothing, Mike. Mezzanin. What is that? French? Mezzanin. Where's that from?
I'll tell you where the real world is. It's the goddamn locker room.
Mezzanin. The hell is that? French?
Music television. How's that work? Two different things.
Two different things. You know, trying to confuse old Tate? Is that a rip? You ain't old enough to be ripping me, boy.
Tell him where you want to pick the music when we're up and down the road. You ain't learned a goddamn thing. You're the wheel man. You drive the damn man around.
Hoorah. The hell is that?
Right, y'all, get my gavel.
Hoorah. What? It sounds a bit, not my speed. Hoorah. Wearing a hat to the wrestling ring, are you, miss? Never catch the dead man doing that, let me tell you.
I sentenced you to John Morrison eating Big Macs over a year ago for 6 months.
Came to play? Well, asshole, I came here to work. It's not a game. It's a business. You don't play games of wrestling. You work. Price to pay, there sure is. There sure is, boy.
Chick magnet, huh? You ever fought a shark?
Anyway, let us know your thoughts on NXT in the comments section or on X at What Culture WWE. Watch that. You can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at.
I don't do none on a Twitter.
Follow me. Adam Wilbur.
180 characters, you only need one, and it's a dead man. Greatest character in the history of the business.
240 characters, what's this, that AEW? They got the guys from Mexico, and they got the guys from Japan. Got the guys from France and Luxembourg and everywhere else. That's you only need an account from the good old USA if you ask old Teague.
That's the problem with AEW. Too many characters, too many kip-up flip-ups.
If I wanted to read about the United Nations, I'd go back to school, you hear?
What the hell's a GIF? I can't hear it. I turn the volume up. There's no sound on the GIF.
You need to hear the fans, man. That's the best feedback you'll ever get.
How are you going to GIF Taker's dong? Lose the pop.
Thanks.
Hey, what is this, Twitter Doc? I like that.
I like that.
Turn the lights out on like Twitter.
Hey. Who's that underneath my replies? Pussy in bio.
Dead man in bio.
Dead man likes that. Dead man likes that. Oh, hang on. Let me send a direct message to Miss Pussy in bio.
boobs and bugger. Deadmire's got it all.
Glenn Jacob, some great message. I'm gonna reply. Dead man in bio. He'll know what it means.
You can follow me on X at Adam Wilborn. Follow
our producer. Young lady, a great abuse.
It's Adam Nicholas. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts.
Maybe make a cry.
Dino previews available from earlier on today. But for now, it's been the NXT review. My thanks to Hamlet, to Sidgwick, to Stax. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you soon.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.